For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
While Wes is enjoying those somewhat balmy temperatures out in California, the rest of us on the East Coast enjoying some frigid temperatures, some precipitation, perhaps. And if you're lucky like me, Wes, you get to enjoy no heat in the house, 54 degrees. So this morning's been a little busy trying to thaw out and get things taken care of. So I'll send you your invoice. You're good paying half of the bill that I had to pay this morning, I assume, right?
Yeah, I think if we combine all the revenue we get from these podcasts, I don't see any issue with that.
It's a very generous podcast co-host. I appreciate it. But while some of us have been seeing some snow, it was actually raining threes in Pittsburgh on Tuesday night as Syracuse enjoyed a 69-58 win over the Pitt Panthers, beating them for the second time in 17 days. Kind of a comfortable win for Syracuse, Wes, on Tuesday.
Yeah, to paraphrase Ted Lasso, Matt, the Orange were goldfish on Tuesday. You know, coming off that absolute disaster of a game against North Carolina over the weekend, in the 3 days that have happened since then, Syracuse put that behind them, picked up one of their best wins of the season. You know, to me, that shows a really good mental makeup of this team. So kudos to Syracuse for really bouncing back. And, you know, Matt, I think the moment I felt really confident in Syracuse winning this game, around the six-minute mark to go in the first half, shot clock winding down, Quadir Copeland with a right hand in his face drains a three-pointer, puts Syracuse up 26-22. Syracuse gets the ball back in Junovitz, then pulls up for three, knocks it down. Suddenly, the Orange is up 29-22. I think when you start to hit threes like they were, you know, I thought that was a turning point in the game, because when the Orange is hot from three-point land, which, you know, they're only shooting 29% from there in ACC play, not something we've been able to say much, but when they are shooting well from there, they're a hard team to beat.
Yeah, and when the backcourt gets going, Wes, Judah Mintz, J.J. Starling both performed pretty well, even though Mintz just 3-for-13 shooting. He had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, a couple of steals as well. But good to see those guys kind of get back on track and play well together in the same game.
Yeah, and you know, we spent a lot of time harping on J.J. Starling's struggles in the last podcast. And Matt, I think he heard us because he played, in my opinion, one of his most complete offensive games of the season. You know, I want to parse out. You combine the stats, I want to parse them out a bit. 17 points, 7-11 from the field, 2-for-5 from downtown, which is always a great sign to see him shooting well from that range. So, you know, Syracuse isn't going to be successful without him playing to his abilities. And, you know, one other thing I wanted to point out was, you know, the defense that Syracuse played on the other end defending the three-point. You know, Pitt is an okay shooting three-point team, you know, shade over 33% from the season. But I thought Syracuse's rotations were more crisp around the arc. Part of it was that Pitt was having an off night. But I think part of it was pretty good defense and holding the Panthers to 5-26 shooting from downtown. So I thought the other thing is that after Syracuse was out-rebounded 23 against the Tar Heels, Syracuse closed that gap, was only -4. I think that made a big difference as well, Matt.
Defense, rebounding, always staples of victorious teams, whether it's the college game or in the pro game. But that outside shooting, both defensively and offensively for Syracuse, 7 different players knocked down at least one three-pointer in the game on Tuesday. And Wes, one thing to kind of extrapolate from all of this is Syracuse knocking down some threes early on Tuesday certainly helps them build a lead. But as we look at some of these games that they've lost or, you know, have had to try to come back from a deficit at some point in this season, they are just 279th in three-point shooting percentage in the country at 31%, 276th in three-point attempts. So as you're looking at these games, if you're in the second half and Syracuse is down, you got to know that it may be a little tougher for them to come back in these games because the three-point ball has not been their forte this season. Whereas, you know, you can get back in a game pretty quickly by knocking down a couple of quick threes. That has not been their MO to this point this season. So it's something interesting to note that, you know, should they get down in second half, some of these comebacks may be a little bit harder for them because what the numbers are showing as far as their three-point proficiency.
Yeah, and, you know, Syracuse really needs Chris Bell and Justin Taylor to step up. We've been saying this throughout the podcast because they are great outside shooters, because that is what they were brought in to do. And I thought, you know, Chris Bell's had, at least in the last few games, has really started to play well. You know, I know Taylor hit a three last night, which was, I think, tremendous for his confidence. He hit a couple. So really important that they shoot well. They have the capability of shooting well. I do think they have a couple shooters on their roster that can open up the floor. And if J.J. Starling and Judah Mintz can hit a three here and there to keep the defense honest, that's really going to help them out in the long run.
Mintz and Starling combined for 31 of the 69 Syracuse points on Tuesday. And Chris Bell, the third player in double figures at 10 points. He's now averaging over 14 a game in his last three. So that's been a good sign to see him start to get back into it. I think one of the things that we noticed in Tuesday's game, Wes, was the big man rotation. Malik Brown getting his third straight start. But we saw Peter Carey in for 7 minutes. We saw Benny Williams playing small ball five for a time in the second half. Interesting to see that Adrian Autry kind of changing up the rotation a little bit.
Yeah, you know, without Nyheim McLeod, who he announced was out for the rest of the season, you know, Syracuse is going to need to get creative in its rotations. And, you know, Peter Carey, still very raw, but you can see the athleticism there. I think there's a reason why he's a scholarship player at Syracuse. He really does bring, I think, an added athleticism to that center position. And as you talked about, going small, playing Benny Williams at the five, he has tremendous athleticism. Maybe that forces him to play inside more. And remember, I always say I'd rather him play like a power forward than a shooting guard. If he's a center, that keeps him inside. He can use that athleticism. He can rebound, which is what he really needs to be doing, and putting and getting easy baskets around the rim. So I think that's a great rotation. I think Hema, Carey, and Williams can really provide some quality minutes in very short spurts off the bench in place of Malik Brown. So I actually really like that rotation a lot.
Any big picture thoughts on the implications of what this win meant for Syracuse on Tuesday?
Yeah, Matt, I think this was a really critical win for the NCAA resume. I kind of talk about the NCAA resume a lot, but, you know, Syracuse in quad 2, 3, and 4 games, a perfect 10-0, that accounts for all their wins. Heading into Tuesday, they were 0-5 in quad 1 games against Tennessee, Gonzaga, Duke, UNC, and Virginia. Well, Pitt is currently 68th in the net rankings and a quad 1 win awarded for road wins over top 75 teams. So, Matt, for the time being, Syracuse has picked up its first quad 1 win of the season. And at this point, if you're a Syracuse fan, you should be rooting for Pitt because, you know, if you want to hang on to that quad 1 win, you have to have Pitt continue to rise in the net rankings. And the other thing I want to point out is the other reason to root for Pitt is that home win over them a couple weeks ago is a quad 2 win for them at the moment. So you want to see Pitt continue to win. That's going to bolster Syracuse's NCAA resume. They want the highest net ranking as possible for Pitt.
We're at that time of the year, Wesley, where we have to start rooting for former and future opponents to win or lose, depending on how that makes Syracuse's tournament resume look. So good 11-point win for Syracuse on Tuesday against Pitt. And on the other side of the break, we've got not one, but two former Syracuse football players to talk some SU pigskin here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back on the Juice on the Cues podcast, Wes Chang here, and it's a pleasure to be joined by our great friends and former Syracuse football players, Dan Anyabuno and Cameron Lynch. Guys, thanks for coming on the program. Really appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having us. It's great to be on. Go Orange.
Go Orange. Heck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Orange. And I wanted to start here, which is just to see how you guys have been since your Syracuse playing careers. Dan, you were an offensive lineman. I know you've gone on to the law world. And Cam, you're a great linebacker, had a really nice run in the NFL. So, Dan, I just wanted to start with you.
Yeah, I'll take the first whack at it. So since Syracuse football, honestly, Syracuse was one of the greatest experiences of my life. It really shaped me into the man that I became into. So once I graduated from Syracuse, I went on to law school. Then I became a prosecutor in New York City in Brooklyn, and prosecuting over 2.5 million people in the place in Brooklyn was very impactful for my life and my career. Yeah. And then from there, I went to the NFL. I worked in the football operations department. Then I worked for a crypto gaming company and some other jobs. And currently I am the associate counsel at the National Basketball Players Association.
Dan, that's a really diverse legal background. I don't think there's many people out there that can say they've had that kind of journey from being a prosecutor and then, you know, going into the sports world. And again, Cam, you played in the NFL for a few years. I remember you in college doing those interviews for Cuse.com, and you went into a broadcast career afterwards. So just tell me what you've been up to as well.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, Dan, it's funny because a lot of people don't hype themselves up enough, you know, and I do the same thing for myself, where it's like, you know, you go for an interview and they're like, hey, tell us about yourself, you know, for a job. And, you know, you talk about it. And then every time I get my review, they're like, Cam, you should have said more. You should have toot your own horn. And so for Dan, same thing. Wes, similar to yourself, has a diverse legal background and just professional career. You know, not only he mentioned Syracuse being the best start for him and shaped him to who he is, I would second that. A lot of times we talk about in our group chat, we're like, hey, you want to go to another school? What school would you go to? Dan would say, Roll. You know, for Alabama, it's a Roll Tide. And for me, you know, I'm like, go Tigers, because, you know, some of my former teammates that I played with, some of the best ones, played at LSU. So Quan Alexander, for an example, you know, he plays for the Steelers, got hurt this year, unfortunately. Himself, you know, Kendall Beckwith, there's a lot of guys, Russell Shepard, there's a lot of guys that I play with from LSU that, man, if I was only 6'1", then if I was only 6'1", I'm 5'11 and a half. You know, barefoot, but if I was only 6'1", man, I would have been at those schools. So, you know, for me, the journey to Syracuse is a blessing. I wouldn't take it back for anything. You know, it's funny, if you all can go on my Instagram, my social media, you'll see my wedding. I got married last year, and guess who's my groomsman? Dan A. Dan A is a groomsman at my wedding, and along with, you know, Amadou Gay, Michael Carter-Williams, CJ Fair. So these are Syracuse guys that, you know, we lived at West. We lived on Winding Ridge, man. Like, we were up there on the ridge. South campus. Yeah, man. We were and Wes, don't let Dan fool you. He's your legal background, but my man knows how to throw a fiesta, brother. We used to party.
That's for the other podcast.
Sorry. Okay, my bad. Yeah. So Wes, you see why Dan is my best friend here, because he sets boundaries for me. So for me, I like to go left and right, and or even go backwards. And Dan's like, hey, let's this way. So. But no, Dan is a legend at Cuse. You know, not only did he walk on there and got to play right tackle or left tackle or guard or center, whatever position you want him to play, you know, against Vic Beasley when Clemson came into town. When we got beat by 30-some points, right? Sammy Watkins is knocking the dome off with his touchdown catches. So, you know, Dan got to play in those games. And so there's really to see his journey, you know, from football, how he started. People said he couldn't to where he is now is really cool. And then he worked at the NFL. So, like I said, Wes, I know it's a long tangent. I went on a long run talking about my guy. But, man, not even but however, you know, it's been a pleasure to, you know, just to stand side by side him. So not only on the football field, we play at Syracuse together. You know, caveat, I almost transferred West. I almost transferred Syracuse. I was like, man, I'm not starting. We won a state championship in high school. And, yeah, I'm Coach Moore was like, hey, you're going to learn to play special teams, bub. And, you know, that was the best lesson I could have gotten because that's what kept – hey, that's what paid the bills at the NFL, you know, at the Rams and the Buccaneers. So, you know, Wes, I know that I said a lot. You asked me about my career, but I had to support Dan in that one as well.
Thank you, my brother. Yeah, thank you.
And I think you're being very modest, Cam, because I know you've been really successful after your NFL career. So I think you're selling yourself short here too. But I definitely appreciate you, you know, pumping up Dan like that.
Yeah, most definitely. And I can give a little rundown too. Wes, feel free if you want to share any thoughts or anything. For myself, you know, I graduated in 2015 from Q. So, you know, my freshman year was, 2011. Dang, I'm getting older, guys. I finished season 2015, got there in 2011. Man, it's wow. That kind of like punched me in the gut. I was like, oh, you're getting older. So, you know, got there in 2011 and finished in 2015. Syracuse studied engineering for my first, 2 years. And like I said, I wanted to transfer because balance wasn't there for me academically, nor was it there for me football wise. And so, you know, a lesson, a thing that I would just share for other athletes that are graduating high school, or just anybody in transition, like, you know, look for self-care, look to see what that looks like, because if there's no self-care, then everything's going to fall out of whack. And so for me, you know, being a young college athlete, 17 years old, what therapist? Like, I wasn't even in my Rolodex, you know, it's kind of crazy when I think about it now. You know, we train every day our muscles to lift weights. I mean, Dan can tell you, like, I was on the top 10 freak ass athlete list, you know, benching 225 38 times, Wes, and it wasn't even wow. And that wasn't even recorded, you know. Like, I hit 30 during the combine or the pro day test because the bar I didn't have control. Like I said, I didn't have balance, and so my mind, I was like a bull in a china shop. And so, Wes, I was throwing the bar from my chest up and I was coming off the bench. That's how hyped up I was, you know. But like, if, you know, looking back now, I was like, man, Cam, if you just kind of sat in the pocket, you know, and just hit your reps, you know, and just was focused and locked in and not so hyped up, bro, you could have broke the record. You could have hit 40, you know. So, you know, that's neither here nor there. And what I'm getting to is, man, I wish I had that balance in that, or at least a therapist, you know, or somebody, a mental coach, really, to just make me more successful, a success coach, get me more successful in that field. And so, you know, Syracuse, like I said, I learned a lot. I don't take anything back. I'm talking about getting a success coach. The fact that I hit 38 times on bench or hit 225 38 times on bench, that's not bad at all. I'm grateful, but I could be much more better. And that's, I think anybody else can think about that. You can be much more better. So just looking back now, any advice to these young cats, Gen Zers, Gen Alphas, just ask for support, get counsel, and, you know, you'll be more productive. So I know I ran in there a little bit, Wes, but I had a lot to say.
Cam, that's amazing advice. And that kind of segues into my next question, which is that, you know, Fran Brown is the new Syracuse head coach. He's invited Syracuse football alumni to practice, and that includes the two of you. He said he needs your presence. He doesn't need your money. Of course, he'd like your money, but he's opening up practice to alumni of the team, which, you guys are. So do you plan on taking him up on his offer? And I think you both have a lot to provide these student athletes in terms of your life perspective, having gone through it and getting to where you are now.
Honestly, I think it's amazing. It's the breath of fresh air that Syracuse needed. Really doubling down and having the alumni back. We are what every player is going to become, former players of Syracuse, and we all have very fond experiences on Syracuse campus and playing football and some of the best times of our lives. So why wouldn't we want to come back and share those experiences and relive those with the guys, and then pass on some advice to the things that are going to happen to them in the next 3 to 5 years, whether they're in the NFL or not. Hopefully they're all in the NFL and they all accomplish their goals and dreams. But some of them are going to be doctors and lawyers and engineers or whatever else they may become. And there's a lot of advice and sage wisdom that we have the ability to pass down. And also just becoming more accessible to that young crop of guys.
I really love everything that he's doing. I love that he's a recruiter. His opening speech really it really moved me. It really bought in. I started texting some of our former teammates and asking, like, the ones that met him in person or have met him in the past, and I was like, okay, so what do you think about this guy? Is he blowing smoke? And then they were all saying, no, this guy's 10 toes down. He's real. We believe him, and you know, the proof is in the pudding. Through his recruiting efforts, bringing in coaches that have NFL experience, obviously bringing in a lot of big recruits, specifically the quarterback. Some of these guys are guys that Syracuse could only dream of years ago, and I think this in all my years following Syracuse. And even thinking back, even before then, like, I don't think we've had a more exciting time to be a part of the Syracuse family.
Yeah, and Cam, definitely want to welcome your thoughts here too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And Dan, that was beautifully said, man. You got to start a podcast and hit the radio, bro. That was well said. Wow. Yeah, and then for Friend Brown, man, it's exciting. Like Dan said, I mean, Wes, I do a podcast. We do a Bleacher Report podcast. It was actually today, and we talked about new head coaching positions in the NFL. And we're all going back and forth, and I told him, I said, look here, like, you know, for the Raiders, Antonio Pierce, you know, you got the Patriots, you got Mayo, former player, and then you think about some of these other vacancies, and as I said, like, Danny Amendola might have said it the best, and Dan's, we talked about this in our group chat, and he said, we work for Bill, and we play for Tom. These millennials and Gen Alpha, the new generation, they want to play for someone who's been through the fire. They don't want to work. They want to play for a grandparent. You know, sorry for, you know, I love my grandma, grandpa. I rock with them heavy. I just wouldn't want to play for my grandma. My grandma's 70 or 80. You know, like, I wouldn't want to play for her. Actually, she's part of my why. I take that back. She's part of my why. But I'm talking about somebody else that's not their grandparent. You know what I mean? I'm playing for my grandma, but will somebody else do that? So I think it's really important that we realize that we want somebody who's been through it and done it and has walked the walk and talked the talk. And that's from peewee up into professional football. And so for Friend Brown, he brings that. He walks the walk and he talks the talk. So no matter if he went to Syracuse or not, you know, like Dan mentioned, he's 10 toes down. He's cut from the same cloth that we are. And I think when it comes to leadership, like I said, we talked about on this podcast for the NFL teams, they need leaders of men. At the end of the day, we need leaders of men, and Fran Brown is a leader of men or people, just in general. Not even men, just people. I'm looking at one of his quotes, Wes. I was just listening to you all talk. I looked at one of his quotes, and they said, we need to support our guys in every way. It's not just the 120 guys on our teams or the coaches. It's the entire fan base. For us to go win, we have to be willing to change. And so what that tells me, you know, I played for the Rams. You know, I had a chance to get to the playoffs. I had a chance to broadcast the Rams versus the Patriots game, and we got to interview every team. And one thing I took away was the Patriots were sharp. Everyone was bought in. That went from the equipment manager was ready to rock and roll, kind of like what Gianna said. He said, hey, equipment manager, you can wash clothes best. Like, we need world-class preparation for world-class results, and I think Fran Brown's going to bring that. And so that comes from everybody. It comes from the fans and how we treat other teams when they come into the stadium. That comes to the people that when they treat people, when fans do come into the stadium or they're getting a hot dog, whatever it is, that needs to be world-class. That needs to be first to first, one of one. And if it's not, we're falling short. And I think Fran Brown exemplifies that. So is John Wildhack. And, you know, he's been doing a great job coming from ESPN. And you saw the interview. He said, man, how could I not come with all this money this man's paying me? You know, and when I heard that, I said, oh, Fran's keeping it hot. He's keeping it humble, open, and transparent. And whenever you can do that, whenever you communicate that way, we're going to get the best of the best. Communication is the biggest thing, and I think he's one of the better communicators I've seen. You know, I play for we play for some coaches now, Dan. We play some coaches, Marone. We play for Clark Lee. So Clark Lee's the head coach of Vanderbilt. He was one of the best communicators I've ever met. And he's at Vanderbilt now. He's the head coach there. And I think Fran Brown can be in that category. Fran Brown, Clark Lee, John Fossil. He's a special teams coach at the Cowboys. John Fossil and Clark Lee, those are the two coaches for me that are the best communicators that I've ever come across. And they're in the positions they are for a certain reason. I think Fran Brown has those same qualities. He's cut from the same cloth. So if you couldn't tell, I'm excited, Wes. I'm excited about this.
I would also like to add in, I think there's this, him coming from Georgia and just coming from a culture of winning will be such a breath of fresh air to be brought onto Syracuse's campus. I really think going back on Cam's point that he seems as though that he would be a player's coach, and a lot of guys will have a lot of stuff to learn from him. An older brother sort, a mentor. And I think he can really take us into this new generation. And I think Syracuse is on the precipice of either, you know, of some really great things. I see a lot of these teams, you know, like Washington, back when I was in college, they weren't at the prestigious level, competing every single year for these prestigious bowl games. And I think Syracuse is right on the cusp with all the with the culture that they're building, with the new facilities that's coming in, and everybody really rallying around football. It's January right now, and honestly, with all the alumni that I've been speaking to, it's palpable for Syracuse football. And I'm incredibly excited. I really feel as though that bringing in such a high-class recruiter that dominates the powerhouse state of New Jersey and we can dominate the rest of the Northeast and really bring a lot of high-caliber talent up into upstate New York, which will be so amazing. Well, actually, it's more central New York. I think people would get crucified if I don't say it correctly.
Guys, this was awesome. Thanks so much for your time. Again, former Syracuse football players Dan Anyabuno, Cameron Lynch. Guys, come on the podcast anytime. We'd love to have you. Definitely want to catch up with you guys soon.
All right, perfect. Perfect. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you both.
Definitely one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done on this podcast. And we will be back with our closing thoughts. This is the Juice on the Cues podcast, and I'm Wes Jang.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Juice on the Cues podcast. Wes Chang alongside Matt D'Agostino. Matt, let's wrap this up. And, you know, I love closing the show by giving listeners information that's more inside baseball. Matt, Syracuse is going to be welcoming a large group of juniors to campus this weekend. One of them will be 2025 wide receiver Desi Jones, a Rivals three-star prospect, holds over 20 offers, including Penn State, Minnesota, Ohio State, Nebraska, and Ole Miss. That's quite an offer sheet, just to name a few. When the Juice Online spoke with him, he said that Syracuse is the one recruiting him hardest at the moment, and then he's forged a great relationship with the new coaching staff. So this is a recruitment I think everyone should keep an eye out on as Syracuse wraps up the 2024 cycle and moves toward 2025.
It seems to be a broken record of the interest from potential recruits and the Syracuse program, and it's a broken record. I don't mind seeing broken time and time again. On the basketball side, Wes, as we kind of looked at, you know, what Syracuse's win against Pitt does for their tournament resume, looking a little bit deeper as we get into that point of the season, especially once we get to February, Syracuse, with the win on Tuesday, climbed 9 spots in the KenPom rankings to 76. And if you look at kind of the teams around them, 71 through 80 of those teams, only 2 right now are in ESPN's bracketology bracket of 68 teams. That being South Carolina as a 10 seed. They're 71st in the KenPom rankings. And UC Irvine is a 13 seed as an automatic qualifier. They sit at 74 in the KenPom rankings. But if you look at bracketology and you look at that last 4 out and next 4 out, Wes, and you look at those teams, their KenPom rankings are significantly higher than Syracuse's at this point. So the last 4 out, Gonzaga, a team Syracuse has lost to, 25th, Colorado 34th, Cincinnati 29th, and Providence 55th. So those guys are well out of reach of where Syracuse is in the KenPom rankings. And even the next 4 out, Indiana State 42, Florida 45, Kansas State 54, and then you get to Butler at 64, who is within reach of where Syracuse is in the KenPom rankings. Again, they currently sit 76. So still some work to do, but the next three games at home for Syracuse, Miami, Florida State, and NC State could go a long way in helping out that KenPom ranking and where they sit in good old bracketology. So a little bit deeper dive, Wes. You can take the nerd out of Syracuse, but you can't take – no, that's the wrong way around. You can take Syracuse out of the nerd, but you can't take the nerd. I don't even know what it says.
Matt, where are you going with this? Where are you going with this?
I love numbers, Wesley, and that's what I'm trying to get at. So I'll look at them a little bit more as we get closer and closer to the tournament. Well, I said very poetic things today. I can only imagine the same can be said for you, Wesley. It's been another fun one here on the Believe Network and the Juice on the Cuse podcast on Rivals.com. Thanks for joining us here. Until next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.